And turn them to Acts chapter 27, Acts 27 and verse 31 and 32 are the two verses that we will read again and pick up what we left off this morning talking about abiding in the ship. And it's our theme for 2008 and many of the ships that we're going to be talking about here, and it's going to be a blessing. All right, Acts chapter 27, verse 31 and 32. If you're there, let's go ahead and read those together. Here we go. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Father, speak to us now as we continue looking at the context of this chapter and then drawing some parallel applications and some practical applications that may apply to our lives. Lord, I do pray that you would speak to us in a marvelous way. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. We talked about this morning years ago back in the storefront. I had preached a series of messages talking about spiritual exceptions, and we had began talking about those this morning. The spiritual birth is an exception. We talked about except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Spiritual vision is something as well. Except I shall see, Thomas said, I will not believe. And then spiritual productivity, except ye abide in me, ye cannot bear fruit. John 15:4 was another exception. And then spiritual success, except ye destroy the accursed from among you, was said in the time of Joshua when they had stolen of the accursed thing. And so this one now is except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And we're drawing that application from verse number 31 down there, where Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And we're talking about basically the spiritual safety of confiding in certain ships that God has for us. Of course, what Paul is dealing with here is talking about the people in the ship. There were certain ones that wanted to get out of the ship. And Paul said, except these folks abide in the ship, none of us are going to be saved. And so we'll get to that context later on. But the practical application is over the course of the year, I want to see, except we abide in certain ships, we can't succeed in the Christian life. And by the way, we will be in a ship of some type or another throughout our entire Christian life. By the way, you really never get out of the discipleship. Did you know that? You never get out of that ship. We're always learning more about Christ. You never get out of the stewardship. God always wants us to be faithful in our finances. And so you never get out of the stewardship. By the way, you can run away from the ownership, but guess what? You still belong to God if you're saved. Amen. And so you'll be in that ship all your life. I hate to say it again, but we're going to always find ourselves in a hardship at one time or another. Say, preacher, why do you keep going to that one? Because that's the one that we hate. Amen. If there's any ship that we can jump ship on, it's that one. Amen. How many of y'all want to stay in the hardship? The only ones that would be children that don't have any idea what it is. Amen. But the average person doesn't want to stay in the hardship. Amen. The Lordship of Christ. He's going to always be our Lord, although we may try and be our own Lord. Amen. Now, some of you may not get in the courtship. Amen. If you're married, you don't belong in the courtship. Amen. But those that are single, are we going to talk about the courtship? Amen. The censorship. There's certain things that we shouldn't do. Amen. And so there's several of these ships that we may be in all of our life. Some you may not find yourself in, but we will always find ourselves in these ships at some time or another in our Christian life. Amen. And so there's some things that we need to do to abide in the ship. So I want to pick up with the context here. Verses 1 and 2, we talked about the scheduled sailing, how the Bible says in verse number 1, it was determined that we should sail. And God is going to pick a ship for you to be in. Verse 3, we talked about the supportive sailing. Paul was able to get refreshed down there in verse number 3. God is always going to give you the refreshment that you need. Praise God for that. Then you come down to verse number 4, the strenuous sailing. It says in verse 4 towards the end, the winds were contrary. It's not going to always be smooth sailing for us. Amen. It's going to get tough sometimes. And then number verses 5 and 6, the switch in sailing. They put them in a different boat down there in verse number 6 towards the end. He says he put us therein when there was a switch in sailing. Then we saw the slow sailing in verses 7 and 8. It said they had sailed slowly many days. And some of these ships we may find ourselves in more longer than when we actually want to be in. Then we see the scary sailing in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, Paul said that the Bible says sailing was now dangerous and they should have stayed where they were at, but they moved on anyway. And then we saw in verses 11 and 12, the stubbornness in sailing. Nevertheless, verse 11, it says, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. And so we find that going on. And then we saw in verse number 8, the supposed sailing, verse number 13. Notice what it says there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And so the supposed sailing, they thought that there was smooth sailing, but that was only the calm before the storm. And the storm comes in verse number 14. Read verse number 14 with me. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Think about it. When's the last time you've been through a storm of any sort that it had a name? Anybody been through a storm and it had a name? Brother, which one was it you went through?
Multiple in Okinawa.
In Okinawa, amen. So typhoons, amen. Anybody else, you had a storm that you went through and it was called by name. Amen. Yes, Gary? You remember the name of it? Oh, don't worry about it if you don't, brother. Amen. Now, by the way, why do you name some storms and some storms you don't name? Interesting question, huh? Why name some storms and some storms you don't? Amen. I was looking at that because it says here there was a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I don't recall seeing any other storms that were listed in the Bible that actually had a name, but this one did. Now, maybe you do, but I don't remember any. And so I began looking up, why do they name tropical storms and hurricanes? Amen. And it says this, storms are given short, distinctive names to avoid confusion and streamline communications. Amen. By the way, that's one of the reasons why we name our children, so we don't confuse our children. Can you imagine Brother Wilkerson just calling, hey, you come here. Okay, which one? The boy. Oh, okay, which one? The girl. Okay, which one? We name them because we don't want to confuse anybody. Sometimes I'll call Gregory, Dregory. It's a combination of Joshua and Gregory. I say, come here, Dregory. And so I'm trying to call them both at the same because I'm confused. Amen. What happens here? Storms are given short, distinct names to avoid confusion and streamline communication. It says this, until the early 1950s, tropical storms and hurricanes were tracked by year and the order in which they occurred during that year. Over time, it was learned that the use of short, easily remembered names in written as well as spoken communications was quicker and reduced confusion when two or more tropical storms occurred at the same time, because you could reference one and get confused by the other. For Atlantic hurricanes, there's a list of male and female names which are used on a six-year rotation. So every 6 years, they begin to rotate these names again. Amen. And it says this as well, the names for 2018 have already been picked. The first one, anybody can guess the first one? Of course, it begins with an A. Close. Alberto. Guess what the second one is? Not Bertha. Everybody think Bertha. That sounds like a storm. Amen. That's actually my grandmother's name. Amen. Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L is the third one. The second one. The third one is Chris. The fourth one is Debbie, Ernesto, Florence, Gordon, Helene, Isaac, Joyce, Kirk. Where's Brother Fred at? Leslie. Sorry, Brother Fred. Amen. Leslie, Michael, Nadine, Oscar, Patty, Raphael, Sarah, Tony, Valerie, and William are the names for 2018 hurricane. They're already set. They're already listed. And so if we get a hurricane, they're going to assign the first one, Alberto. The second one, Beryl. The third one's going to be Chris. And then Debbie and on and on and on. Amen. And so the names are already picked. This one is called Euroclydon. Or some folks I've heard it pronounced Euroclydon, but Euroclydon. And so it says this here that, but not long after, verse number 14, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. So it had a name even back then. And the name was generated from the different winds that came together for this particular storm. And they named it Euroclydon. And so we see down here the stormy sailing. By the way, as the voyage continues, this storm arose, and there's going to be a tropical storm in your life as well. Amen. And by the way, God has already reserved the name for your storm, just like we reserved the name for the 2018 storms. God has already reserved the name. You just don't know what it is yet. We have the luxury of knowing what the 2018 names are. I pinned down a few names that may be on reserve for your life for some storms coming. There may be the failed finance storm in your life this year. There may be the jilted at the job storm where you get fired. There may be the mad marriage storm where you go on the rocks with your marriage. There may be the challenging children storm that you go through. Your children's just going to be a handful. There may be the feuding friends storm that you go through where the friends just can't get along. There could be the fed up family member storm. I'm just through as a family member. Amen. There could be the unexpected uproar storm that you go through. There's some unexpected uproar in your life. There could be the hurting health storm. Amen. I've been in that one since last year. I'm waiting for that sip to shell. Amen. I'm through with that. It could be the chewed out church member storm. Somebody just chew you out, amen, and you don't like it. I don't know what storm is there, but I can tell you this. The storm that God has prepared for you is already pinned down, already in writing. He already knows when it's coming, and you're on the sea of life, and you are approaching it on 2018, and you're going to sail into it, amen? You're going to sail into it. Now, preacher, what is it? I don't know. If I knew, I'd be God. But I can tell you this, it's awaiting you. It's awaiting you. And so they thought that they had achieved their purpose in verse 13. But it says, verse 14, but not long after there. They thought the road was smooth. They thought the sailing was smooth. But not long after there arose this tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. So there's some stormy sailing up ahead. Amen. And by the way, you know that other natural disasters don't get named. We don't name volcanoes. We don't name earthquakes. We don't name any of the other natural disasters like we name hurricanes and tropical storms. Why is that? I have no idea. I just know we don't. So there's the stormy sailing. But then verses 15 through 19, we see the struggle in sailing. This is when it really gets tough. Amen. And what are we talking about? Abiding in the ship. We want to abide in the ship no matter what happens. And so, again, remember, Paul told them that they should have stayed put, and they didn't. They didn't listen to the man of God. The struggle in sailing, verse 15 through 19. Notice verse number 15 first with me. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. So in other words, the ship couldn't go exactly where it wanted to go. And so they just let the wind push the ship. By the way, one of the hardest things is to try to steer a ship when the wind is pushing it someplace else. My dad and I used to boat when I was a young man. And I tell you what, when the winds came up on the lake and we were trying to go straight, guess where the wind would blow us? This way. And man, it was hard to go against the wind. I mean, it was hard. I was a young lad. I'm only about 16. I'm trying to, you know, row this boat. And G2, you want to get buff? You try to row a boat. Amen. And it's tough. And so he says here there was some struggle in sailing. The ship was caught. He says it couldn't bear up. And so we had to let her drive. Pretty much we had to let her go on her own. Sometimes God's going to get you to the point where you say, you know what? There's nothing I can do with this ship. I just got to let God have his way. And by the way, that's the best way. Let God have his way. But in verse 16, they had some work to come by the ship or the boat. Amen. Notice verse 16. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Now, this is interesting. And read the first part of that next verse. It says, which when they had taken up. What they're talking about here, back in the days, the ships, when they went, they had a lot of extra boats attached. Some were inside. On this one, you'll find there's some ships that are boats actually on the inside. But there's also one hat right here. You can see a ship right there, the boat right there. But this boat, particularly for Paul and his crew, was actually a boat that must have been tailing on the backside of the boat. And as it was tailing on the backside of the boat, with the adverse winds, obviously, water got inside the boat. And so to salvage the boat, because this was going to be an extra boat, sometimes they would pull up close to a place, and instead of getting one of the boats from the inside, they would just let that boat down, and everybody would just jump in that boat. And so all the water evidently got into that boat, which made it difficult for them. And so when you come down there in verse number 16, it says, so we had much work to come by the boat. They struggled to get that boat in because of the weather and also water getting inside the boat. It says in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ships or the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. Undergirding was some ropes and wires and cables normally going underneath to strengthen the ship, because as the ship sailed, it would get weak. And so the undergirding here would tighten the ship up and so that it wouldn't leak water, because again, it wasn't made out of metal like it is today. Amen. It was made out of wood. And so they would undergird the ship and they would tighten the ship up and making sure that water couldn't get in there. And so it says down there, they tightened it up. They got the boat inside, making sure that the boat was there. And then they girded the ship up. And so they're trying to secure the ship. And it says they did this because they were fearing lest they should fall into quicksands. They let the sails down. Strake the sails means they put the sails down. What would happen if the sails were left up? That tempestuous wind called Euroclydon would drive them that much further away from where they wanted to go. And so they strake sail, or they put the sails down. They lowered the sails some. And so they had all this work coming by the ship. They were driven in the ship. Verse 17 says, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. They let the sail down and let the wind continue to drive them. Notice verse number 18 here. It says, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And so they were exceeding tossed. And by the way, you and I are going to be in some ships this year that we're going to be exceedingly tossed. You're not going to know what's going on. You're not going to know what's happening. You're not going to know what kind of job am I going to. What's happening at my job? What's happening to my children? What's happening to my marriage? What's happening to my finances? What's happening to me? You're not going to know. You're going to be exceeding tossed sometimes, tossed to and fro in the ship. Can you imagine the sailors after loosing from that calm area, coming up to Euroclydon, coming into this storm and then thinking, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? I guarantee you somebody's saying, maybe Paul was right. Maybe he had something. Maybe we should have stayed. Amen. They're exceeding tossed. We may find ourselves reeling to and fro in the ship. They had to lighten the ship, amen. That means they threw some cargo overboard. What's the purpose of lightening the ship and throwing some cargo overboard, amen? To make the ship a little bit more stable, amen? And think about this now. If they're throwing cargo overboard, guess whose cargo it probably is? The owner of the ship. And guess what the owner of the ship wants to make? Money. Guess what just went out? Money. Guess what they're thinking? We should have listened to Paul, amen. By the way, you might find yourself in a ship that you shouldn't have left port on, amen. And you sailed and you're losing some money, amen. And Paul says, hey, look, I warned you, amen. And so they lightened up the ship down there in verse number 18. Notice verse 19. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Tackling there means equipment or some of the furniture. Can you imagine throwing out the equipment, some of the furniture? They're so desperate there. They lightened the ship in verse number 18. And now this is the third day in verse number 19. They're still going and they're still being driven by the winds. It wasn't bad enough that they threw out some of the cargo, but now the tackling of the ship is gone. The furniture is gone. The equipment, the utensils, all those things, they're throwing that stuff overboard. By the way, that just lets me know that you and I may have to lose some things along life's sea this year. Amen. We may have to get rid of something. We may have to lose something. We may have to have a rummage sale. Amen. We may have to have some kind of sale to get rid of something that you really don't need. That's a weight that's weighing you down. Why? Again, the ship cannot sail in these rough seas if it's loaded down with a bunch of stuff. And so they got some cargo gone. They got the tackling out, hoping this is going to secure the ship and make it sail a little better. And so we've got this this whole scene going on here. But then I like this. Go down there, verse number 20. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days. Now follow the trend here. Verse 18, it says down there at the end, the next day they lightened the ship. Verse 19, it says, the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling. And then verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in how many days? Many days appeared. They said, we've been at this for a long time. No small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away.
I want us to see the surprise in sailing. They thought the hope was gone. You might get into a financial situation this year and you think hope is gone. You may get into a marital situation this year. You think all hope is gone. You may get into a situation with your children. You think all hope is gone. You may get into a health situation. You think all hope is gone. You may get into many different situations. You think all hope is gone. There's no hope yet. There's always hope in Jesus. With God, all things are possible. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hope is never gone. But their hope was gone. You know why their hope was gone? Because they didn't believe Paul. Amen. And as a result of them following their own leading and the master and owner of the ship, now they find themselves in there. But let me encourage you, hope is never gone. We serve the God of hope. We serve the God of peace. And he is the God of all comfort, and he can give us what we need as we abide in the ship. Hey, we may have made some bad decisions. We may have trusted our own instinct. We may have trusted someone that cannot drive the ship or boat the ship or navigate the ship. We may have done foolish things, but there's always hope in God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad about that. And so after this struggle in sailing, we find a surprise in sailing. Their hopes seem to be gone. Just like a faithful man of God, Paul begins to step in and give some guidance on how they can survive this storm, even though they didn't heed his first warning. Notice up there in verse number 10 and 11. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things were spoken by Paul. And so Paul here begins to step in here in verse number 21. Hope is gone in verse number 20. But notice hope is gained in verses 21 and 22. Notice what he says down there. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said. Now, can you imagine Paul right now on the ship? The ship is rocking up and down. You know, I don't know if Paul's back over here sitting down or something like that and watching everybody scurry about and, you know, panic and all this. I don't know what he's doing. But it said after a long abstinence, Paul finally did something. He stood forth. He stood forth in the midst of them. And I can almost see Paul standing next to the centurion and standing next to the master and owner of the ship. Say, you're the master and owner of this ship? Are you the centurion to listen to him? Well, listen to me. I can just see him. And I can see the others just looking. What is he going to say? Doesn't he know that we're in a storm? Doesn't he know it's been the next day? It's been many days. It's been the third day. It's been all this. And we've cast out the cargo. We've cast out this tackling. Doesn't he know all hope is gone? Hope is gained. Paul says in verse number 21, after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. In other words, I don't want to tell you I told you so, but I told you so. I told you so. You should have hearkened unto me. Notice what he said. You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. You know, sometimes you may get a good friend or a brother or sister or husband or wife that may tell you, you know, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. And don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them. If they say that in love, they're trying to help you out. It could be a brother or sister in Christ. It could be a husband. It could be a wife. It could be a daughter. It could be a mother. It could be a father. If they tell you that, don't get mad. Notice verse 22. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I can just see them looking at Paul. Now, are you crazy? Do you see this storm? Do you see what's going on? Do you see that we've cast out the cargo? Do you see we've cast out the tackling? Do you see this ship is about to break apart? Do you see what's going on here? How can you stand there and say that everything is going to be okay? Nobody's going to lose their life. Sometimes we may find ourselves in a ship, and that's the way we feel. And someone says, just trust God. How can I trust God? You just have to. You just have to. But you're not in my situation. No, I'm not. But God knows your situation. Well, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't, but God does. And God wants you to abide in the ship of faith. He says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul said, nobody's going to die. The ship's going down, but nobody's going to die. But then notice not just the hope gone and the hope gained, but the help given. Verse 23. Paul says, this is why I know. But they stood by me this night. Now, notice that. Go back up to verse number 18. It says down there at the end of verse 18, the next day they lightened the ship. Verse 19, the third day we cast out the tackling. Verse number 20, and we need the sun or moon was in many days. But then in verse number 23, Paul said, for there stood by me this night. I know a whole lot of days have gone by, but let me tell you, I had an angelic visitor that came down and talked to me and let me know everything's going to be okay. And I believe God. Amen. Hey, God knows where the storm that you're going through. He understands your Euroclodon. He understands the navigation of your ship. He understands the weakness of your ship. He knows all about the ship that you're navigating on, and he can send an angel or anybody else to give you the encouragement that you need as you abide in the ship. Some of these ships may be tough to abide in this year. The discipleship is always tough. The fellowship can be tough. The friendship can be tough. Stewardships can be tough. Workmanship can be tough. The courtship can be tough. Censorship, lordship, worship, sonship, companionship. These can be tough ships. But guess what? God knows the navigation that he charted for your ship. And he can come at the midnight hour and give you the encouragement that you need. The help given. Verse number 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, I believe God. It should be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Paul said, you know what, everybody's going to be okay, but we're going to be shipwrecked on an island. So there's a surprise in sailing. Hope was gone, hope was regained, then there was help given. But then notice verse number 27. Now notice we start off with that word that I told you about in verse number 14, but... What happened? In verse number 14, they had set sail, supposing they had obtained their purpose. But it says, but not long after there arose a great tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. Come down here to verse number 27. We have that same word again, but. That means the complete opposite of what was just going on. But when the fourth night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. So they come up here to verse number 27. It's the 14th night, and about midnight, about the midnight hour, sometimes we start crying out, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? It's the midnight hour, about midnight. Hey, that's when we start getting discouraged. Lord, the clock's ticking. Some things need to happen. I remember me and my wife, we said, Lord, we've been married 20 years. We haven't had any kids yet. The clock's ticking. We don't have a muffin in the oven. Amen. Lord, it's the midnight hour. It's now or never. We're not getting any younger. We're not Abraham and Sarah. It's the midnight hour. And sometimes we're going to feel that way. Maybe at your job. Maybe with your wife. Maybe with your financial situation. Maybe with your school. And we start saying, how long, Lord? How long? How long? 14th hour. 14th night, I should say, said it was come as we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And notice verse 28, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. They say fathoms is about 6 feet. And so if it's 20 fathoms, then it's 6 times 20. Mathematicians, how much is that? About 120 feet. So about 120 feet, if their estimation of a fathom is correct. Now, I'm not sure if that is correct, but that's a guesstimation. And so about 120 feet, they found it. But then they said they went a little bit further. They had gone a little further, and they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. And if it's still 6 feet, then it's about 90 feet. And so they realize they're getting shallower as they go along. Of course, that leads to fear. What's going to happen? If the water is getting shallower, we could hit rocks. And so it says in verse number 28, they found it 20 fathoms and 15 fathoms, 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern. Say, preacher, what is the stern? The stern is the back. And so if you're looking at this ship, this would be the stern. And so typically they would have some anchors on this side and anchors on this side. And so they must have cast out 2 anchors on this side. 2 anchors on this side. Why? You don't want to put them on the front, because if you put them on the front, guess what it's going to do? It's going to turn the boat around. And so you put them on the back, and that's going to help slow the boat down so it's not going so quickly forward into the rocks. And so they put down anchors here. They put down anchors there in the stern. And it says, then they wish for the day. They said, look, it's got to be better days than this. It's got to be. not wanting to crash on the rock, they let down the anchors. But then notice this, not only the search and sailing, because they were searching to find out where the ground was at, but the subtlety in sailing. Say, preacher, what does subtlety mean? It means not showing your true purpose or your true intent, having ulterior motives, trying to do something without being noticed. Verse number 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Now, wait a minute. The shipmen are about to flee out of the ship. Guess who controls the ship? The shipmen. They're men of the ship. Guess what Paul is? A prisoner. Guess what the other prisoners are? Prisoners. And it says down in verse 30, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat. Now, what boat do you think that is? Go back up to verse number, where was that boat at? Verse 16. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. It's that boat. That same boat that they had been dragging along, that same boat that was full of water, that same boat that they said, we got to save that boat. That same boat, they had managed to get that boat inside the ship. And now, after they've gotten that boat back in the ship, they're going back to that same boat to let that boat back out. And the shipmen are about to get in that boat. But there's a problem with that. Because of the shipmen about to get in that boat, and there's 276 passengers on that boat, 100 of them are the centurion's army. One is the centurion. That's 101. That means that leaves 175 people, which means Paul, the prisoners, and the shipmen make up the rest of that 175. There's a big problem with that. Because Paul is not the navigator of the ship. The prisoners aren't the navigators of the ship. The centurion is not the navigator of the ship. His 100 men are not the navigators of the ship. You know who's the navigator of the ship? The shipmen. But it says here in verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color means in disguise or trying to not cover, uncover what they're doing, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. So they scurry up here into the front. They say, okay, we've got anchors back here to secure the ship. Let's put down two more anchors here. And whilst we're putting down some anchors, oh, by the way, let's get away. Yeah. It's easier to take care of me and my four and no more. I don't have to worry about Paul. I don't have to worry about the centurion and his 100 men. I don't have to worry about those other prisoners. Plus, they probably a bunch of, they're prisoners. What do I want to get them with me for? Let them have the ship. Let's see if they can fly it. I mean, navigate it. Amen. So obviously the shipmen, which is the captain and crew, were about to abandon ship under color, in disguise, leaving the centurion and his soldiers with Paul and the prisoners on the ship to fend for themselves. The boat, obviously, the boat that was up there in verses 16 and 17. The centurion and his soldiers is 101. The other 175 is made up of Paul, prisoners, and shipmen. It's easier to care for a small crew than it is 276. Notice verse number 37. And we were in all in the ship, 200, threescore. Threescore is 3 times 20, which is 60. And 16 souls. 60 and 16 souls is 76. And so 276 in the ship, according to verse number 37. Paul lets the centurion and the soldiers know that the only way for all of them to stay alive is to have the shipmen abide in the ship. And that's the context. The context is as they're going through this great storm called Euroclydon, the main ones driving the ship were about to get out of the ship. And Paul said, except these shipmen stay in the ship, none of us are going to be saved. Now, Paul already knew he was going to be saved. God had already promised him that. And then the angel came that night and said, look, you're going to be okay, but you're going to be cast on this island. And so Paul is saying, look, I'm going to use some common sense here. If we're going to get to that island over there, we need y'all to stay in here. If y'all jump out, there is no guarantee that God's going to save you. God promised that everybody with me is going to be saved. If y'all go away on your own, there's no guarantee that you're going to be saved. So Paul, using his common sense, said, look, except ye these abide in the ship, you can't be saved. We're not mariners. We're not shipmen. Common sense tells me that we need you here. By the way, common sense tells me that you and I need to abide in certain ships. Common sense tells me that you need somebody to help you abide in the ship. Sometimes you need somebody to tell you to stay in the ship when you want to jump out of the ship. Amen. And so he says down there in verse 31, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. The subtlety in sailing. You know, sometimes we may have ulterior motives and thinking we're going to try and do something else and try to pretend like we're going to do something else. God knows our real intents. And you can say what you want to say to somebody else, but God knows your real intent. And when it comes down to subtlety and sailing, you don't want to have pretenses. You want to make sure that you're in the ship to be in the ship, to do what God wants you to do in the ship. And you abide in the ship as long as God has you in the ship. When God wants you out of the ship, he'll take you out of the ship. Notice the surrender in sailing. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. That same boat that they rescued early on, they could have saved themselves trouble, not just even rescued the boat way back then. And then they would have had no way to escape. They would have saved themselves a lot of headache. They cut off the boat. What am I saying? We have to approach 2018 that there is no escape. Now, God may give you a way of escape to bear certain things. I'm not talking about that kind of escape. I'm talking about jumping out of the boat into the sea. I'm talking about getting out of that which God has you in on purpose and then going out to go another way. You will surely perish. Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There's something that God wants us to learn this year. And God has many different ships that he wants us to abide in. And I am convinced that there will be those that will attempt to get out of the ship. And you're going to need a Paul in your life to say, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. It may be that husband of the family who's in the leadership. It may be the wife telling the husband, we can't jump ship now. It may be a child saying, Mommy, we can't do this. I picked with our kids earlier. They said, what are we going to do this afternoon? I said, we're not coming back to church tonight. And they all looked at me. I said, you know, I'm just joking. I said, it's my anniversary. I'm not going back to church tonight. They're like, I said, right. I said, you know, that ain't right. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. You know, we're going to be in church tonight. Amen. But sometimes a child may have to tell you, you need to abide in the ship. Trusting Paul, the soldiers cut off the boats of escape. I like that too. Paul told the centurion, except these abide in the ship. Guess who didn't cut the boat ropes? The shipmen. Guess who did cut it? The soldiers. They went up there, pew, cut that. Pew, bye-bye dinghy. It dropped in the sea. Now there's no way off. Nobody's going anywhere. And sometimes that's what we got to do. Get rid of the way of escape. Just get rid of it. Bye-bye. Hey, I don't know about you. When I stopped smoking cigarettes, you know what I said? Get rid of it. When I stopped drinking, you know what I said? Get rid of it. Just let it go. When it came to drugs, let it go. Why are you going to keep it around? Let it go. Let it go. Surrender and sailing. According to verse 32, the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and then let it fall off. As they continue to abide in the ship. There may be many things that you and I may have to cut off to abide in the ship. Maybe bad influences, bad habits, a myriad of things. Afterwards, the Christians, afterwards, the cheer became infectious after listening to Paul. Notice what it says down in verse number 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Why? If they cut the boat off, they're going to abide in the ship. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they of all good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. That's the 276. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship again, it says, and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So if you can imagine this ship going forward here and then running aground, and then the back part of the ship falling off because the wind is blowing it this way, and so it can't go any further. So this part is stuck in the ground, and that part breaks off. Would you have liked to have been on that ship? I know I wouldn't. And it says down there, and the soldiers, verse 42, counsel was to kill the prisoners. Why kill the prisoners? Because by law, if the Romans let go of a prisoner, their life for theirs. And so they said, look, let's kill them. Because if they're not there, we die. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, notice this, willing to save Paul. He said, I'll keep them all alive, as long as we can keep Paul. Amen. That's a smart man there. Long as we can keep the man of God alive, amen. All of them. Go stay alive. I like that. His counsel was to kill the prisoners. Any of them should come out to swim to escape. But the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose and commanded they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. How many? All safe to land. All 200. And 76 of them. You know why? Because they abided in the ship. The ones who could navigate the ship had to stay in the ship so that everybody in the ship could make it. By the way, you may be of the capacity where you're one of the navigators of a certain ship. You need to stay in the ship. Maybe you are one of the riders in the ship. You need to stay in the ship. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Husbands, if we get rid of our leadership in the ship, except these abide in the ship, the family cannot be saved. Oh, it can be helped out a little bit, but God's goal is for us as a leader to be in the leadership. We can't just leave the ship and think it's going to ride smooth. Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There's got to be someone that can navigate the ship. The shipman's job was to navigate the ship. And because they stayed, everybody else was saved. Many different ships that are here. And I don't know what one you're in or what position you're in that ship. But I know this, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Let's abide in the ship. Will there be an Euroclodon coming? Yes. Do we know when it's coming? No. But God knows your navigational course. And God knows where you're going to be at on June 16th. God knows where you're going to be at August 14th. God knows where you're going to be at February 3rd. God knows where you're going to be at in November. God knows where you're going to be at. And God has the means to send you the angel of the Lord to comfort you by way of the word of God and let you know that it's okay. Just abide in the ship. Paul said, it's been many days, but the angel of the Lord came by and stood by me tonight and said, it's going to be okay. God wants to navigate you and I through 2018. Is it going to be easy? Was 2017 easy? I guarantee you 2018 is not going to be any easier. But guess what? With God, all things are possible. Join me this year in saying, by God's grace, I'm going to abide in the ship. I'm going to abide in the ship, whether it's leadership, whether it's discipleship, fellowship, whatever ship it is. Say, I'm going to stay in the ship. Membership, I'm going to stay in the ship. Kinship, hardship, I'm going to stay in the ship. And I trust that when this year is over, if the Lord tarries, we'll say, Lord, thank you for helping me abide in the ship. Is it smooth? Water is one of the most unpredictable things. And you combine water with wind and elements, it's even that much more unpredictable. Ever try to run with a bucket full of water? That's about how life is. All over the place. But except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Let's make an agreement this year with the Lord, saying, Lord, I am going to abide in the ship this year through the storms of life. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I don't know what storms are going to come our way, but I do know the storms will come. Lord, many are the names out there. You already have the names picked out for the storms in our life. It may not be called Euroclodon, but Lord, you know the storm that we'll come against. Whether it's at our jobs, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our friendships, whether it's in our friends, or whether it's in our discipleship, Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord, you know the ship that we will struggle in the most. Help us to abide in the ship. As husbands, help us to abide in the leadership. The ship could not be salvaged without the shipmen. And Paul encouraged the shipmen, stay in the ship. He encouraged the centurion, let them stay in the ship. Lord, help us to cut off the boats of escape that we might want to take to avoid going through the ship and going through the sea of life. Help us to cut off anything that would make us want to think about retreating and jumping out into the sea of life and swimming and doing it on our own. Help us just to abide in the ship. Thank you so much for being a wonderful God to us in 2017. Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do with us in 2018. Again, we don't know what's going to happen. Lord, our desire is to abide in the ship that you have us in. Help us tonight to make that agreement, that covenant with you, that we will abide in the ships that you have us. Oh, Lord, we know you may switch us from time to time. We know you may keep us in the ship longer than we want to be. And we know we can't always pick the ships that we sail in. But Lord, help us to abide in the ship. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. In the quiet of your own heart, we're going to have invitation in just a minute. Why don't you make an agreement with God to abide in the ship? Bless now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. As Miss Natasha plays, maybe God spoke into your heart. Maybe you're already in a ship that you have carried through 2017 that you need to abide in. Maybe there's a situation that you need to overcome in 2018. Maybe the thought of jumping ship has been going through your mind again and again. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me to abide in the ship. Maybe it's the parent ship. Lord, you know, it gets so difficult parenting. Maybe it's the school ship. It gets so tough being a student, Lord. Maybe it's the financial ship. Lord, the finances just don't seem to be enough. Or maybe it's the hardship. Lord, it just seems like there's one hardship after another. It's more than I can bear. And I don't know what ship God has you in or what ship he's taking you through, but I do know this. God will bring you that refreshing that we talked about that you need. Maybe you need to just come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you need to pray for a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a son, maybe a daughter. Maybe a coworker, maybe a friend, maybe a relative that needs to abide in this ship. Maybe you're ready to jump out of one of those particular ships. We talked about last week, the main thing still needs to be the main thing. We're still going to be soul winners. We're still going to be prayer warriors. We're still going to be in the Word of God and use the sword of the Spirit. We're still going to stick with the filling of the Spirit of God to do stuff by the power of God. So maybe you just need to say, Lord, I'm going to abide in this ship, the main thing ship, and keeping the main thing, reaching people for Jesus Christ, seeing souls saved for the glory of God. Perhaps you're here tonight, maybe you need to be saved. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You think you've been saved, but you've been mistaken. Maybe God's revealed it to you. Maybe you need to come forward. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Perhaps you are saved and you need to be baptized. Won't you surrender for baptism? Just come, let us take a Bible and show you what you need to do to get baptized scripturally. Perhaps you're already saved and scripturally baptized. Perhaps you need to join this church. You'd come and say, preacher, I want to join this fellowship. We'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Maybe God's called you to a particular ministry. just surrender. Cut off the boats of excuses. Just do that which God has called you to do. Our Father, thank you for just being a tremendous God to us. Lord, help us to be like Paul. Abide in the ship. Lord, as a result of the shipmen staying in the ship, all those with Paul's lives were spared. And they were able to get to the desired location, cast upon an island on their way to Rome, all because Paul is going to be tried before Caesar for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the process, all the passengers and all the shipmen were saved. All the prisoners were saved because they abided in the ship. Help our spiritual lives to be successful. Help our Christian lives to be what you would have them to be, Lord, as we abide in the ships this year. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the example of Paul the apostle and his diligence to stand. And help us to stand as well and abide in the ship. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. We'll thank you for what you've given us, Lord. And help us to be sure, to be firm with our commitments to abide in the ship in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's got our